Live Creative Now, episode 17.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, and I'm Melissa Dinwiddie, Passion Pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color, creative life. This episode is sponsored by the Erase the Chaos Toolkit, the ebook and companion workbook to get you from chaos and overwhelm to the kind of full-color life your heart longs for. The Erase the Chaos Toolkit will help you hone in on the specific causes of your time crunch chaos, you know what I'm talking about, and give you the tools you need to clear your plate and make space for creative joy. Liberate white space so your full color life can flourish and shine. Here's what Kathy had to say about it. She writes, I'm almost done reading Melissa's new book and I'm printing out the workbook tomorrow. I already feel more white space and a lot less anxious about my to-do list. I highly recommend getting this toolkit if you are always trying to get organized or feel like you're under a time crunch. Thank you so much, Melissa. It came at the exact right time. Yay, Kathy. I am so glad to hear you say that. You can get your very own copy and start clearing the chaos out of your own life at bit.ly/erase-chaos. That's bit.ly/erase-chaos. And now, on with today's episode. Live creative now. Today, I want to talk to you about something that I just experienced something, and I just wanted to share with you my sort of thinking process over the past week, because some things happened that I think you might relate to. So one of my creative expressions is I'm a performer, and I perform as a singer-songwriter, and I've also been playing with looping, which is using a special app on my iPad, or you can use a hardware device too called a looper, but I just use an app on my iPad, and I'm able to layer my voice and play my ukulele and set that going on a repeating track and sing over it and harmonize with myself. It's pretty cool. So I've been playing with that as a solo performer, and I also perform with a couple of different improv groups. And all of this stuff is fairly newish to me, although I've been performing for close to a decade now. But the improv side of things is new. So I started taking improv classes a couple of years ago and started performing maybe a year and a half ago, theatrical improv. And the looping, I've only been performing, I had my first performance in the spring, so pretty recent. And the thing about doing anything new like that is there is always going to be this uncomfortable period where you're just not as good as you want to be. There's always going to be a gap between the mastery that you really want to have, and what you're actually capable of doing. There was always going to be a gap. But in the beginning, especially when you start to get a little bit of skill under your belt, that gap is just so huge. So huge. And it's really uncomfortable. And a lot of people quit during that early time when that gap is so big, because it feels unbridgeable, really. But the only way to get to any level of mastery is to stick it out through that uncomfortable place. So this last weekend, I had three performances in a row. I had a solo gig for a conference, me and my looper and my ukulele. And then I performed with my improv group. and for the same conference. And then I had a solo concert that was 2 hours long in somebody's backyard. It was a really big deal. And those performances all went fairly well. But the one in the backyard, I could not tell. I couldn't tell how I was doing. I mean, I could hear all of my mistakes. My editor, my analytic editor was going the entire time, oh God, there's a mistake. And oh, you're off pitch here. And God, your patter was way too long in this place. Just constantly, constantly chattering at me. But I just kept going because I know from experience that I am not a good judge in the moment of how my performance is going over. And what do I have to gauge it on? I have to gauge it on the audience response. And on Sunday at this 2-hour concert in the backyard, I could not tell from the audience response whether they liked me or were bored out of their skulls. There were a couple people in the audience who were smiling a lot, and periodically a group of people would laugh, which was great because my material's funny, so I'm trying to get people to laugh. But the rest of the audience, I couldn't tell. I could not tell from their faces. They honestly looked like they might be really bored, which is like the worst thing to do. That is the only crime that as a performer you can commit is to bore your audience. So I'm kind of sweating bullets up there and I'm just keeping going. Like, what else am I going to do? I'm expecting that at any minute, the entire audience is just going to up and leave. But they stuck around. And then at intermission, a whole bunch of people came up to me. And not only did they say, oh, we enjoyed the show, but they said things like, you're amazing. And, oh my God, you're so talented. And, you know, like really, really big compliments, right? So I thought, oh, okay, I guess I wasn't doing as badly as I thought. So intermission happened, I came back and I did the second set, which is mostly stuff on my looper. And that's new for me. And it's really new for a lot of people in my audience. A lot of them had never seen a looper before. They didn't know what it was. So there was this sort of novelty factor that made it interesting, but I didn't know if they were going to be bored. And the style of the music that I have been doing on my looper is really different from the really wordy, lyric-driven, funny songs that I do, just me and my ukulele. I had no idea how this was going to go across. And again, I couldn't tell from the audience's affect. And again, it was only after the show was completely over that I kind of got rushed by a whole bunch of people who wanted to tell me how much they loved it. And that was, you know, incredibly validating, of course. My point here is that, you know, like I said before, you are not the best judge of your work, particularly when you're in the middle of it. How many times have you created something and thought to yourself, oh my God, this is a piece of crap. And then you put that thing away for weeks or months and then pull it out again and realize, oh, this is pretty good. That has happened to me so many times. 1 year, what was it, the end of October 2013 to October 2014, I think it was, I did a project called Project 3x5x365. And every single day for that year, for 365 days in a row, I filled in a 3x5 card to a one-word prompt. So it was a teeny tiny daily writing practice. And my goal was just to write something. It wasn't to write something good, because there's nothing more paralyzing than putting expectations like that on yourself. So I would crank out these things and, you know, I have this external goal to just get it done and make something and put it up on my website. And of course I also want to make something that I'm pleased with. And most days I was not pleased. I would sort of cringe when I would push the publish button. But that was my commitment, so I stuck with it. And the fascinating thing to me was not only did I get a lot of response from people often on the days for the pieces that I was least pleased with, those are the ones that people liked the most, and also when I went back later, I thought, wow, I like this. Why did I not like it before? This is the nature of the creative process. It is so hard for us to see what we're creating when we're in the middle of it. And you combine that with the fact that there's always a gap between what you're capable of and what you want to achieve. And boy, it's just really hard. And the most important thing is to know this. If you know this and can remind yourself whenever you have that feeling, oh my God, this is crap, I should quit, when that gremlin starts chattering away, just remind yourself that that is the feeling that is always going to accompany creating something, particularly in the beginning stages where you feel like your mastery is just not where you want it to be. So that takes me to, I'm recording this on Monday. So last night, Sunday night, I was in an improv show. I've been taking classes at this fabulous improv company and school called BATS Improv, B-A-T-S Improv, in San Francisco. I love them, highly recommend it if you're in or around the San Francisco Bay Area and can take some classes from them. They're fantastic. And one of the things they do is every few months or so, they run what they call a cave match. Now that's a play on the word cage match. They basically, it's a head-to-head, two improv teams who perform with an intermission in between. And the audience then decides which of those two teams is going to proceed on to the next week to face the next challenger. So my team, the Bookworms, was the challenging team last night. And so I drove up to the city and we had our warm-up. The musician was really late, which made us really nervous. But we thought, you know what? This is improv. We're just going to go with it. And we performed our show. And, you know, there were some really fun moments in the show. There were some good moments in the show. Some of the scenes were stronger than others. Some of the scenes, I am really, like, I personally want to cringe because I don't like what I did. I don't feel like I made strong offers. I don't feel like I did a good job. All the training and all of the workouts that we do, we meet every week and we have a workout on Sunday nights. And I often feel in those workouts like, wow, we're really improving. And we bring instructors in to you know, work with us and stuff. This group has really been working together and we're getting better. And when you get up on stage in front of a real audience, all bets are off, man. So although I'm proud of the fact that we got up there and we did it, I felt like I didn't do a very good job. And I felt really frustrated, not just that I didn't do a very good job, but that I'm just nowhere near where I want to be. I just don't have the chops yet. And dang, that is so frustrating, especially when we stuck around after an intermission, of course, and watched the other team who I'd seen before, and they're fantastic. They're so good. And they were so much more, they just have more chops than I do. And that my team does. And, you know, maybe they've been doing it much longer. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But they did a much stronger show than we did. And boy, it's so easy to get really down on myself and feel horribly embarrassed that I got up there and I kind of made a fool of myself compared to, you know, what I wanted to be doing and how this other team was. Oh man, that's hard. It is so hard to be a beginner, to get up on stage and to make a fool of yourself and to know that you are just exposing yourself to the world as flawed and imperfect. Whew, hard, hard, hard. And you know what? When I was sitting in the audience with my friends and from my group, watching the other team, and thinking, oh my God, they're so much better than we are, which is, as you know, a very dangerous place to go down, right? Anytime you go down that, that's the comparison trap, baby. You got to be careful about that. So I was aware of that. And I said, you know, 2 years ago, I remember sitting in the same theater, looking at the people on stage who were performing at the end of a class that they had taken. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, that looks so hard and so scary. I'm signing up for class. I think I'd already signed up for a class, or maybe I was in a class at that time. So I'm already on the road to getting up on this stage, but it feels like, that feels like, that just feels impossible. So just 2 years ago, I was sitting in the audience looking at that stage thinking, whew, impossible, couldn't possibly do that. And guess what? I'm doing it. Am I doing it brilliantly? No. Am I doing it well? Better than I used to, right? That's what it takes. That is the only way to get closer to mastery, is you gotta let yourself suck first. Is the only way. It's the only way to unsuck. Or as I like to say, on my Imperfectionist Manifesto poster, it says, it's my one of my favorite sayings, we need the crap to fertilize the good stuff. You can't get to the good stuff unless you make crap first, because the early stuff that you're going to make is by definition going to be crap in comparison to where you want it to be. But you have to make that early stuff in order to learn, in order to improve, in order to figure out what you're not doing well and how to make it better, right? We need crap to fertilize the good stuff. So anytime that you are faced with something you've created or in the middle of creating and you're feeling like, oh man, oh, I'm so in that gap, I'm feeling that gap, this is not where I want to be. I want my skills to be better than this. Just remember, you gotta make that crap first. Keep cranking out the crap. Keep cranking out the crap. And little by little, it will become less and less crappy. And this, the very sad thing, I don't know if it's sad, but the reality is, as you get better, your taste, as Ira Glass puts it, I'll post a link. He has a wonderful little talk he gave on this gap. I'll post a link to that in the show notes. Your taste improves. Your discernment improves as you get better. And you know what? Your taste, your discernment, your eye, if you're looking at something visual, your critical judgment gets better a lot faster than your skills improve. That's usually how it happens. So that gap feels like it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the thing that has helped me so much is to not judge myself against what other people are doing and what other people are capable of, my heroes, right? But to judge myself against where I was before. So where I was 2 years ago, before I'd ever gotten on stage and before I'd taken a single improv class, right? Where I was there then compared to where I am now. Oh man, we need that. We totally need that. Because otherwise, you just feel like this static body that is just crap. But in reality, you're getting better. You're getting better all the time. And the more that crap you produce, the more you're fertilizing the good stuff. So keep making the crap. We need the crap to fertilize the good stuff. So that's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. Would you like to get a chance to chat with me live and ask your own question about living a full color creative life? Well, you can. Through the end of 2015, I am holding live calls on the first Tuesday of every month. Just go to livecreativenow.com to look for all the information that you need in order to register. Meanwhile, if you are getting value out of this podcast, and I hope you are, I would be so grateful if you would leave a review on iTunes. Those ratings and reviews make a huge difference in how the show is ranked, and that makes a really big difference in helping other people find it. And for the next week, It's still the first 8 weeks of my podcast going live, which means that I have the opportunity to be visible inside iTunes' new and noteworthy section in the iTunes store just for one more week. So if you've been thinking about leaving a review and thinking, oh, I'll do it later, don't wait. Now's the time. Now's the time when your review is going to make a really big difference. You'll help other people find the show, and that helps grow the creative uprising. So you can play an important role in this movement simply by leaving an iTunes review. And of course, I would be so grateful. And you could win a prize because I'm still running a contest through the end of August. And all you have to do to enter is subscribe, leave a 5-star rating and a review, and send me an email to let me know you did. And you can find a contact form over at livecreativenow.com. So thanks again for joining me. And until next time, go get creating.
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.